You are listening to teaching from Castle Hills Christian Church in San Antonio, Texas. More information about Castle Hills Christian Church is available at chccsa.com.
Good morning, CHCC. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision rooted in God's perspective. Simon Wiesenthal was a Jewish prisoner during World War II in a German concentration camp. And he had lost 89 relatives due to the Nazi atrocities. One day he was out in the camp on a work detail and he was brought to the prison hospital. And where he saw a German soldier named Carl. As Carl lay in the bed with bandages all over him, he made a confession to Simon. He said that all the Jews in a certain town was packed into this wooden building and he helped set it on fire. When Simon heard this, he wanted to get up and leave, but Carl begged him to stay. Then he said, "I am left here with my guilt. I know you are a Jew, and what I'm asking is almost too much, but I need your forgiveness. But without an answer, I cannot die in peace." And Simon sat in silence for some time, and without saying a word, he stood up and left the room. In contrast, there was another person, Corrie ten Boom, who was a devout member of the Dutch Reformed Church. She too also had been in prison and lost 10 relatives in the concentration camps, including her sister, Betsy. At a church service, Corrie met a former Nazi prison guard who extended his hand and asked for forgiveness. She recognized him. He had been one of the cruelest guards. Every emotion of pain came back to her. And she prayed, "Jesus, help me." And then she extended her hand in a sign of reconciliation. Sometimes forgiveness begins before your emotions catch up. Two people, same kind of evil, two different responses. One walked away, one reached out her hand. The question is not what happened to them. The question is, what will you do when it's your turn? In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph has been clearly wronged by his brothers. He had every reason to be bitter. His brothers hated him. They mocked his dreams. They threw him into a pit. They sold him into slavery. 13 years spent in captivity. They lied to their father to let them believe that Joseph was dead for years. Yet in Genesis chapter 45, instead of revenge, Joseph offers reconciliation. Genesis 45 gives us one of the greatest pictures of forgiveness in all of the Bible. Joseph has risen from prisoner to prime minister of Egypt. Now a famine has brought his brothers to Egypt begging for food and realizing that the man before them is the brother they had betrayed. For chapters, Joseph has tested their heart. And finally, we come to chapter 45, and it says in verse 1, it says, "Joseph could not stand it any longer. And there were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, 'Out, all of you.' So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. And then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. And Joseph could not stand it any longer. He couldn't control himself. Basically, he couldn't restrain himself from tears. He wept aloud." The Hebrew, it literally says, he gave a voice to his weeping. And he wept so loud that the Egyptians heard him. Why were Joseph's emotions so intense? I think he had been bottling it up for almost 22 years. The anger, the frustration, the sadness, the loneliness. Verse 3, it says, "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. I am Joseph." What were the brothers thinking and feeling at this point in time? Can you imagine as the room went silent? No one can breathe. They're staring at the brother that they had buried in the past, and he's now alive and he's in power. Instead of fixating on himself and broadcasting the injustice that he had suffered, Joseph expressed concern for his father. He wants to know, is he alive? Joseph doesn't just forgive them internally, he acts on it. He says, "Come close to me." He provides for them. He protects them. He restores them. Again, he says, "I am Joseph whom you sold into slavery." For the first time, Joseph speaks to his brothers with his own words. Beforehand, Joseph had spoken through an interpreter to conceal his true identity, but now he discloses this information that only Joseph would know, that he was sold into slavery. And so Joseph leaves his brothers, no doubt, this is who he is. And despite his change in physical appearance, this is Joseph's voice. Joseph names the wound here. He does not pretend like it doesn't happen. And see, forgiveness is not pretending. It's not denial. It's not saying that what evil is okay. He says plainly, "You sold me." He names the pain, but then he refuses revenge. See, forgiveness is surrendering your right to make someone pay. Notice the brothers did not confess their sin. Rather, Joseph introduces and identifies their sin, and forgiveness can be given without confession, but reconciliation requires trust to be rebuilt. He says, "Do not be upset or angry with yourself because you sold me here." The human response to the revelation of sin should make us upset and in distress and angry. Distress because of the heavy weight of guilt incurred by the sin, and anger because of the gross injustice manufactured by the sin. Joseph says to his brothers, "Don't be grieved, don't get angry. Your sin has been pardoned. You are forgiven." Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison, nearly three decades. And when he finally was released, he didn't call for revenge. He called for reconciliation. He said, "Resentment is like drinking poison, then hoping it will kill your enemies." Mandela understood something that Joseph lived out. Bitterness imprisons the victim long after the injustice is over. Forgiveness is how you walk out of it. If we keep on reading in our text, verse 5, "Don't be upset, don't be angry with yourself for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and then there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. He's the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of the entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt." Have you ever noticed how Joseph's mind was saturated with thoughts of God? Speaking to Potiphar's wife, Joseph said, "How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." To the chief baker and cupbearer, Joseph said, "Interpreting dreams is God's business." And Joseph replied, "Go ahead, tell me your dreams." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It's beyond my power to do this," Joseph replied, "but God can tell you what it means to sit and set you at ease." And Joseph declared to his brothers, "So it was God who sent me here, not you. It was he who is the one who made me the advisor to the Pharaoh, the manager of the entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt. And God sent him to preserve life, to save the Egyptians, and also to save his family as well." Joseph could release what his brothers did because he reinterpreted them through what God was doing. Joseph reframes the story. He refuses to let his pain define him. What if the story you've been telling yourself isn't the whole story? What if God has been working in places you only saw pain? I can't help but think about Jesus' response when he was being crucified. Jesus didn't wait to feel forgiveness. Nails were in his hands, blood on the ground, and he said, "Father, forgive them." Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Again, it's a decision rooted in God's perspective. We need to recognize that people who injure us are sometimes ignorant. Sometimes they don't even realize that they're hurting us. Sometimes they're immature, and sometimes they're broken people. But God's not finished with them yet. Whenever I hear someone say they cannot or will not forgive, it makes me cringe. Because of the individual's unforgiveness, they will become a prison to bitterness and all of the negative emotions that come with that. And John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, had traveled to Georgia by ship as a young missionary. He had heard a commotion in the cabin of General Oglethorpe, the newly appointed governor of Georgia. Wesley went to the cabin to find out the problem, and he learned that the governor's servant had drunk his boss's favorite wine and had hid the evidence. The governor, in turn, had his servant bound like a criminal and carried away for punishment, possibly prison. And the governor turned to the young missionary and he said this. He said, "For you know, Mr. Wesley, I will never forgive." And without hesitation, Wesley said, "Well, in that case, sir, I hope you never sin." And there was a pause, and the governor had his servant released with a warning not to do it again. I think there are people watching right now that are carrying wounds. Words that were said, trust that was broken, relationships that collapsed. You're either going to walk out of watching this video and holding it, or you're going to hand it over. You're either going to carry it or you're going to release it. Wethenthal walked away. Corey reached out her hand. Joseph chose forgiveness, and Jesus chose the cross. And now it's your turn. What will you do?